Appendix 1. Sermon, Perseverance in Times of Suffering. Introduction. Read James 1, 2 through 12. The words we read about suffering in these verses are some of the first inspired words written in the New Testament period. They were written about AD 45, only about 15 years after Jesus ascended to heaven. The author of this book was James, the brother of Jesus. James became the pastor of the church in Jerusalem and a powerful Christian leader. James was a very practical-minded person. Therefore, his book tends to address practical issues. Note the key words in this reading. Verse 2, when you meet trials. Verse 3, the testing of your faith. Verse 12, remain steadfast under trial, when he has stood the test. The words trial and test show up 4 times. This suggests that these are the theme of the passage. It is amazing that the first theme in the first document to be written in the New Testament was the theme of trials and tests. Most human beings do not like trials and tests. In fact, there are some Christians who teach that trouble is an indication that you are out of the will of God because trouble is from the devil. They teach that a Christian should never experience sickness or lack of finances or any other problem. However, trouble was the first thing on the mind of the first writer of the first document in the New Testament. Here is one other observation. James says, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." James 1:2. Note that the writer did not say, "If you face trials." He said, "When you meet trials." This suggests that trouble and trials and tests are a normal part of our lives. Trouble is inevitable. What kinds of trouble were James's readers experiencing? From the book of James, we learn of internal troubles in the church. There was slander. James had to warn about the abuse of the tongue. There was discrimination. James had to teach about showing favoritism. There was arrogance. Some were looking down on others. There was bitterness and envy. There was fighting and quarreling. James calls on the believers to be peacemakers. There was sickness. James called for the elders of the church to pray for the sick. From the book of Acts, we learn of other kinds of trouble that were also being experienced at this time. There was ethnic tension between the Hellenistic, foreign, Greek-speaking Jews, and the Hebraic, local Jews. There were prohibitions against Christian ministry. The Sanhedrin commanded Peter not to preach. There was active persecution. There were church members who were giving the church a poor testimony, specifically Ananias and Sapphira. These were the kinds of troubles the church and pastors were experiencing. Application. If trouble is inevitable in our lives, then we need to be prepared for it. Have you experienced problems lately? If so, then this passage is for you. If you have experienced trouble, it does not mean that God is unhappy with you. It does not mean that you are out of the will of God. It does not mean that you are doing something wrong. If you have experienced some kind of problem, it means that you are perfectly normal. And it means you should listen carefully to this sermon. The purpose of trials. Why did God allow these troubles and trials to come into their lives? The why question is one of the toughest questions we are asked. Number 1. The trials were designed as a test. Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. James 1:2-3. God has designed us to do various kinds of jobs. Therefore, He puts us through various kinds of tests to see if we will meet the standard He has set for us. Positive illustration. David was the youngest of the brothers. Therefore, he was given the least enjoyable task in the household. He had to take the sheep out in the field every day and tend to them. These were long days of loneliness and isolation. However, David used them for meditation and reflection. Several times, David's sheep were attacked by wild animals that could have killed him. In those times of danger and fear, David learned courage. He also learned how to use a sling skillfully. David was eventually anointed king, but instead of going to the palace to assume his responsibilities, he went there to serve another king. These were difficult days. David was dodging spears, he was running for his life, he was trying to understand this strange man who would lavishly praise him one moment and then try to kill him the next moment. These were difficult days, but they were preparing David for future service. If he could maintain his relationship with God when people were trying to kill him, that would help him be a good king. The point is this: the difficult things David experienced were part of the testing and preparation that he needed to do the job God had prepared him to do. Negative illustration. Years ago, I noticed an interesting thing in the story of Samson. When Samson was young, he was attracted to a Philistine girl. During the wedding, he gave a riddle to the men of her city. This young lady asked him for the answer. She asked and asked until Samson finally gave in and told her his secret. That was a sad day. 20 years later, Samson once again falls in love with a Philistine girl. He has another secret that he keeps from her, the secret of his strength. She asks him for his secret. Again, she asks and asks until Samson finally gives in and tells her the secret. The amazing thing about this story is that almost exactly the same thing happened the second time as happened the first time. God, in his wisdom, had given Samson a test that would prepare him for the big test down the road. Samson did not pass the first test. If he had learned from his mistake the first time, he would have been prepared for the second test. Not only did Samson fail the first test, but he failed to learn anything from it. What is the point? God allows us to experience various kinds of trouble in our lives. Before we can move to the next level in our ministry, we must pass various tests. God, in his wisdom, allows us to experience pain and difficulty because those will help prepare us for the next thing we will meet in life. If we pass the test, we are prepared to move on. It is a sad thing when we do not learn from our mistakes. May God spare us this failure. Have you gone through some serious tests lately? If so, God is preparing you for something in the future. Remember that the tests in our lives prepare us for greater service to Him. Number 2, the trials were designed to encourage perseverance. For you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. James 1:3-4. God wants us to be able to fulfill the mission that He gives us to do. A test is designed to help prepare you for the difficulties that you will face. To persevere means that you are able to endure the difficult periods of life without giving up. The training which athletes go through illustrates the point. The training eliminates those who are not qualified or committed. However, the training also toughens the muscles, expands the lungs, and strengthens the will so that athletes will be able to perform well on the sports field. In the same way, the more we pass through tests, the better we will be prepared to face the difficulties of life and ministry. God gives us those tests to help us to persevere. Application. The troubles we experience fall into two overlapping categories. First, some of our troubles are qualifying tests. Will we be able to handle the trouble that will go along with a certain ministry? Jeremiah says it this way: "If you have raced with men on foot, and they have wearied you, how will you compete with horses?" Jeremiah 12:5. Many of you have gone through experiences that have proved your readiness for what God has given you now. Secondly, some of our troubles are strengthening tests. After you have passed the qualifying test, God puts you through other tests to strengthen you and prepare you for the next assignment. You are like a soldier. You have already come through your initial training, Now you will face bigger and more severe tests because you will face bigger and more difficult problems. Many of you are serving in difficult places right now. If you are facing particular trials and difficulties, it may be that the Lord is preparing you to do a specific job in the future. Don't fail the test. The response to trials. Troubles and trials are certain in this world. So how should we respond to the problems and trials that we face? Number one, we are to consider it joy. James begins by saying, "Count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds." James 1:2. James said, "Count it," or "consider it." No normal person would be happy when he is experiencing trouble in this world. Very few of us are happy when flight delays disrupt our schedules, when someone wrecks our vehicle, when our computer gets a virus, when, well, whatever happened this week. Therefore, James tells us to exercise our willpower and choose to consider our trials a thing of joy. It requires faith to do that. A man named David went through 4 years of severe stress and difficulty. Every time his friends saw him, he would ask David about his problem. David would say, "God is being extraordinarily good to me." David did not feel well, but he was choosing to follow the advice of James. David was exercising faith. He came through that time very well, and his ministry is better for it. James says, "Count it all joy," or pure joy. Why should we consider it to be pure joy when we are going through various kinds of trouble? Because that is an indication that God is preparing you for something greater than you are doing right now. Few of us want to remain where we are. We all want to move to a higher level of ministry. However, moving up to that higher level will require testing. Testing is an indication that God has better things in store for you. Therefore, count it all joy. Think about students who are in medical school. They regularly take tests. Before they can move from one class to the next, they have to take a test. Before they can move from year 2 to year 3, they must pass an examination. Few people enjoy those tests. However, those tests are actually good news. They mean that the students are ready to move up. Somehow, we need to view our tests that way. And when we do, we will be able to see our tests with pure joy. Note that James also says, when you meet trials of various kinds. It would be okay if we just had a problem occasionally. However, James indicates that we will have trials of many kinds. There is nothing joyful about bad experiences. However, we must recognize that God allows all things to happen. Therefore, we must count it all joy when we have bad days. It is not easy to obey the first command. However, the first step in overcoming our troubles is to try to see them from God's point of view, to see them as something God is doing in our lives. When we do that, God will give us wisdom to see our troubles with faith and joy. Number two, we are to persevere. And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. James 1:4. Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial. James 1:12. The second important way we respond to trouble is to persevere. What does that mean? It means to keep on doing what you are supposed to do, to be steadfast. What should be your response to trouble? Just keep obeying God. Just keep doing the right thing. Just keep doing what God has called you to do. There is no particular secret to overcoming our problems. Just keep persevering. Number three, we are to ask for wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given him. James 1:5. You might wonder, what is this statement about wisdom doing in the middle of a discussion about trouble? The more we look at the passage, the clearer the answer becomes. Wisdom is knowing how to make good decisions. It involves gathering information, understanding all sides of an issue, and then making choices or giving advice about choices. How do you think God will give us wisdom? When Danny was in school and asked God for money, God provided by giving him a job where he could earn the money he needed. When Danny asked the Lord to help him write a book, he did not wake up the next morning and find the completed book on his desk. No, instead, God gave Danny the ability to do research. He gave Danny access to materials. He gave Danny time and strength to write the book. The point should be obvious. When we ask for wisdom, God does not usually dump wisdom into our brains so we are instantly wise. Rather, when we ask for wisdom, it seems that God gives us the kind of experiences that will help us become wise. What kinds of experiences help us to become wise? The problems and difficulties of life help create wisdom within us. The wisest people are often those who have experienced the most pain and difficulty in life. Therefore, the exhortation about asking for wisdom is clearly related to the problem of pain and suffering. James teaches that you should ask without doubting. Here is the point. If you are facing a difficult decision and you ask for wisdom, God may give you more difficult problems because that is the only place where you can learn wisdom. And when God gives us more problems, we often start doubting His goodness and fairness. James tells us not to do that. Trust God even when He allows more and more troubles in your life, because the result of those troubles will be wisdom. Application. The wisdom that James is talking about here is the wisdom of seeing the hand of God in our trouble. Whenever you are passing through trouble, ask God to give you wisdom to see the hand of God in it, and then to use the wisdom you have gained to help others. The results of trials. One of the good things about the Christian faith is that we believe nothing happens by chance, not even bad things. Paul says, "And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose." Romans 8:28. It is a comforting thought to know that even in tragedy, God can work things out for our good and His glory. There are blessings and benefits that come from the trouble we experience. Number 1, maturity. "And let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing." James 1:4. The word perfect comes from a Greek word that means mature. This word is used in Hebrews. "For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil." Hebrews 5:13-14. Children drink milk. Mature people eat solid food. Maturity is the ultimate goal that all of us are seeking. We want to be mature in our bodies. We want to be mature in our thinking. We want to be mature in our spiritual development. James is telling us that the troubles and difficulties of life will help us to become mature. Number 2, completeness. The word complete in James 1:4 means to be whole, complete, undamaged, intact, blameless. Do you want to be whole and complete? Undamaged and intact and blameless? Then you need to persevere during times of trouble and testing. Number 3, lacking nothing. This means that you have everything you need to be able to do what you are supposed to do. When Peter broke a tooth, he went to see a dentist. He complimented the dentist on his equipment. The dentist replied, "I have everything I need and just about everything I want." This is what this passage says. God, in His gracious goodness, uses the troubles and trials of life to provide us with everything we need. Number 4, crown of life. "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love Him." James 1:12. What is this crown of life? There are two possible ways of interpreting this. Both overlap a bit. The most common interpretation is that the crown of life is eternal life in heaven. It is a life of eternal bliss after this life is over. Another interpretation is that perseverance gives us a crown of life in the sense that we experience God and the life He wants us to live. Jesus prayed, "And this is eternal life, that they know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent." John 17:3. Eternal life is being able to know and experience God, whether it is in this life or in the life to come. There are many people who are physically alive but are not experiencing the life God desires to give them. When you reach maturity in Christ, when you are complete and lack nothing, that is real living. Your life has been crowned with the greatest possible kind of life. We do not have to wait until we get to heaven to experience this life. It is the life that God wants us to live now. Conclusion. We will go to the book of Job to conclude this sermon. If ever there was a man who experienced trouble, it was Job. He went through the most severe testing. Here is part of his testimony. "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I do not perceive him. On the left hand, when he is working, I do not behold him. He turns to the right hand, but I do not see him. But he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come out as gold. My foot has held fast to his steps. I have kept his way and have not turned aside. I have not departed from the commandment of his lips. I have treasured the words of his mouth more than my portion of food." Job 23:8-12. Job faced the loss of his possessions, the loss of his family, and the loss of his health. During this time, he could not experience the presence of God. He sought it in the east and the west and the north and the south, but he could not hear anything from God. During these days, Job persevered. Even though his wife called on him to curse God, he refused. He continued to follow the steps of God and continued to treasure the words of God. And then Job expresses his faith, "But he knows the way that I take. When he has tried me, I shall come out as gold." Job believed that he would overcome his difficulties and that he would be better after them than he was before. Questions. Number 1. Have you been experiencing some pain and suffering recently? Number 2. Are there troubles in your life that you don't understand? Challenge. Number 1. Count it all joy. Number 2. Persevere. Number 3. Ask for wisdom. Remember, blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life, which God has promised to those who love him. James 1:12.